Section86.com.
How y'all doing? Welcome back to the Bootleg Asylum Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Creative Tragedy.
It's the Hank and Chain Show.
Of It Burns on IP, the only podcast around that talks about real country music.
Welcome to the Kewaunee Sports League.
Welcome to Vertebreaker, your weekly insight into the world of professional wrestling and pop culture.
Changing the world of podcasting.
After you get done jerking off, it kind of just looks like a little popsicle.
One show at a time.
Insomnia approved.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've been trying to tell this guy for like fucking a year and a half.
So say goodbye. Say goodbye.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 28 of It Burns When I Pee, entitled Mini Pee. I am your host, Blake Clayton, and yes, it's little old me all alone in Get Your Hank On Studios. There's no Norma Jean, no creepy guy. But we just got done hearing So Say Goodbye by our featured artist, Joey Alcorn, and that was off his first album, 50 Years Too Late. We got a good show for you. Like I said, Joey Alcorn is the featured artist, and we're going to have an interview with him, a two-part interview, and we're going to play about five songs from him, and we got a special Hank Sr. song for you as well. And we're also going to spend a little time with my friend Michelle, and we're going to talk about It Burns and IP and our efforts to raise money for juvenile diabetes, and we'll talk to Michelle about that in a little bit. So let me kind of explain what the Mini P format is. It's going to be a shorter show. It's just going to be me on the mic, like the old days, back about a year and a half ago. And we're going to interview an artist and kind of play a lot more of their music. And there's not going to be any skits and no bells and whistles, just me, the featured artist, and some kick-ass music. And we're doing it so we can bring you two shows a month. Producing two episodes, full episodes of It Burns When I Pee is a lot to handle. So we're going to start doing this mini pee show and see how it goes. So let's get down to business and cue up the first song. It's off Joey Alcorn's new album, All Alone Again, and the song is called Have At It, Darling.
Trying to to Tennessee.
All right, folks, welcome back. And we have with us one of the original at Burns and IP guests. He was on the first show, and he's probably one of the best guys I've met in the industry, Mr. Joey Alcorn. Joey, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you, Blake. It's good to be back on at Burns and IP after we did your first episode, what, about 2 years ago now?
Yeah, 2 years ago. 2 years ago. It was a little over that, and little did we know how much of a wreck it would turn into, right?
Well, I'm glad for you, you know, and you're doing a good thing by getting all this, you know, kind of lesser-known country music out there.
Well, let's start off. You know, I wanted to talk about, you know, you had you on for the first album, 50 Years Too Late. And like I said, it's been about a year and a half, 2 years, and you've got a new one coming out called All Alone Again. What's the difference between the new album and the first album, in your opinion?
Well, the second record here, All Alone Again, I just really think, I mean, personally, I like the songs better. I think the production's a lot better. And, we had some more money to spend this time around. And, I think it shows in the product. And, beyond that, I mean, I got some of my favorite players in Nashville. And, like Don Helms and Lloyd Green, Chris Scruggs, and, a bunch of guys like that. And several guys who aren't as popular, but I've been a big fan of for a while. And finally got the chance to work with them, but in the end, I just think All Alone Again is a better record. But of course, when you go in to make a record, you know, you want to top what you did last time. And so far from the reviews and things I've gotten, you know, it seems like we did it. So
yeah, and it's definitely not the sophomore jinx. You know, a lot of times you have the sophomore jinx, but I can tell the difference in the maturity level, just as an artist, I think, and as a lyrically too. And like you said, the production, you can tell the difference. But they're both kick-ass albums, in my opinion. But it's awesome that you got a new one out.
Well, thank you. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I sent you one there about a week or two ago.
And it's getting burned up in the CD player. So, you know, and it must have been a huge honor to have Don Helms play steel guitar on a few of the songs on the album. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience and being with him in the studio?
Well, I told Don several times, you know, that working with him would certainly be one of the highlights of my career. And still, I can't imagine anything that could happen to me in music that would mean more to me than getting to record and, do some shows with Don. He certainly, you know, one of the most legendary figures in country music, and, you know, his steel guitar style and sound, you know, it's a fabric of that era of country music. And, there's just really no way to explain, you know, like in the studio, you know, sitting there cutting that stuff and, you look over and there's Don Helms playing Old Red, which is the nickname he gave it to Steel that, he played with Hank and Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash and just about anybody that listens to our kind of music, you know, likes all those people. And, man, it's really an honor to me to have gotten to record with him. And I think Don told me when he got done with the session, I dropped him back off at his house, and he said, "Man, Joey said it felt good to play on something I felt like I fit in with, and that meant a lot to me."
Right, definitely. And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, that wasn't too long after he did those recordings, you know, that he did pass away, and he was the last member of the Drifting Cowboys that was left. So it kind of probably put even more meaning into having him on that album.
Oh yeah, well, and it's like I said in the liner notes to the record, you know, I mean, that regardless of how that record was to turn out, I mean, it would always be very special to me because that was the only chance I ever had to record with him. And and growing up listening to Hank Williams from the time I was 14 years old, I mean, that's something I never ever thought would happen.
Right.
I mean, that was like a fantasy, and for it to actually happen, and you know, when I put that record on and listen to it, sometimes still I'm like, man, that's Don Helms. You know, it's really amazing.
So how difficult was it deciding which songs to put on the new album? And were there any that you have written that you really wanted to put on the album but just didn't make it on?
No, when I sit down to, think about the album or what songs, I pretty much have an idea going in what I want to do. And on 50 Years Too Late, there was two songs we cut that didn't make it on the record. And with this one, I mean, it was pretty straightforward. The first things we cut were the stuff we did with Don, and then I went back and, you know, added the rest to it. But, you know, I kind of, most of the songs on this record are, I mean, the oldest one on there is All Alone Again. I wrote that when I was like 17 or 18, and, you know, probably the newest thing on there is something like Huntsville, which is, you know, 2 or 3 years old.
Sure. Well, speaking of All Alone Again, we're going to go ahead and take a break on the interview, and we're going to listen to the title track from the new album, All Alone Again. And I mean, is this was this a personal experience, or what kind of drove you to write this song?
Probably just listening to a whole bunch of Hank Williams and being 17, 18 years old and being depressed and lonely. You know how that goes.
Yeah, that never happens, right? All right, we'll be right back with more Joey Alcorn, and this is All Alone Again.
The rain's coming down. I don't feel as proud as I did when I called you. Tears in my eyes remind me of lies I told you, but I don't know why. Hold a lady, I'm blue. Haven't felt this bad since I trains roll on by as I sit and cry as daylight fades away. No peace do I find to ease my mind as I realize I love you.
We're back, and again, that was All Alone Again, the title track from Joey Alcorn's new album. And, you know, last year you did some touring that it was just you and your guitar. And is it easier to tour alone, or is it just not economical to tour with a band now?
Well, it's both. I mean, touring with the band is, of course, way more fun and, you know, more energy. And, you know, there's a lot of songs if I do a solo type thing, you know, you can't do, and that kind of sucks, you know, because people come up and request stuff like, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, and I mean, there's no way you can sit there with you and a guitar and pull something like that off. But on the flip side, it's a lot of fun to me to do those solo shows because, you know, I mean, I really love doing like Roy Acuff and Jimmy Rogers and those kind of guys, and that stuff don't work with a band very well, so you know, I kind of like to think if I do the solo thing, you know, it's one thing, and if I do the band thing, it's another. You know, so it's two completely different shows.
Right.
And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, touring alone, you know, well, I'll put it to you this way. I make the same thing playing by myself as I do carrying a band with me.
Right. And then there's less expenses in the end, too. But.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, just me and my girlfriend can go out and do it. And, you know, I mean, it's like a vacation. And, you know, I'll probably do some more of that. You know, we did a Northeast tour this year and did really good and made good money. And, you know, we tried to put together a West Coast thing, but just it didn't happen. You know, it's really hard to get booked in, like, California and, you know, New Mexico, Arizona, out there, unless you live there. And, you know, so, you know, if I do another West Coast thing, it may be a solo thing, or, you know, maybe I'll carry a fiddle player with me or something. But yeah, it's just it's really rough. I think anybody on your show would tell you, you know, booking the shows and all that stuff, man, I mean, that's a lot of work. People just don't know how much work goes into that.
Right, and it seems like, you know, a lot of the artists that I have, you know, you would think that making the record would be the hardest part, but in actuality, making the record is not the part they have the problem with. It's getting out there and so people can hear it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true, you know, and I mean, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I mean, that, you know, I mean, I sell quite a few records online and everything, and, you know, that's pretty much what keeps me afloat. But, you know, I do miss touring. I love playing live. But, you know, when you're out there, the kind of money these clubs want to pay you and stuff like that, I mean, it's just, it's really hard. And, you know, kudos to those guys that can go out there and do it, you know, all year long and, you know, beat the road down and stay out there. You know, a lot of times I don't know how they do it, but they manage to pull it off.
Right. So in the time between the two albums, what do you think is the most significant thing you kind of learned about the business, I guess you call it? I mean, what is the one thing in between those two albums that you learned the most of?
Money. I have a buddy of mine who works on Music Row doing stuff, and hung out with him and stuff, and, you know, pretty much he laid it out to me that, you know, anything you want to do in the music business, now, you know, we're talking country music, but this goes for rock and metal, rap, whatever you want to do, you know, if it's all pay to play. And if you got the money, if I walked into the Grand Ole Opry and, you know, if I had, you know, $100,000 and said I want to be on the show Saturday night, I'm pretty sure they'd put me on the show.
Right.
And, you know, and record labels work the same way. It's just all about how much money you can put in somebody's pocket, and that's how far you're going to get. And, you know, all your big pop country type guys, I mean, if you go back and look at where they came from and how they got their break, I mean, it wasn't singing down on Broadway or getting in a van, you know, with a band and hitting the road. You know, they came to town with big money behind them and, you know, put it into the machine, and the machine has been good to them.
Right.
But,
and unfortunately,
yeah, you know, I'd probably say that's the newest thing in my book, is about how easy it would be, you know, to be somebody like Garth Brooks if you had enough money.
Right. And unfortunately, I think that's what has soiled the whole music in general is in my opinion, the people that have the money are the ones that are playing shitty music.
Well, yeah, you know, because, I mean, they have enough money to promote themselves and force feed that music to mass audiences and sell mass quantities of their music. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, Dale Watson said in an interview one time, and I thought this was really well put, you know, that, you know, he's playing little honky-tonk clubs and beer joints, you know, for $10, $12 a night, you know, ticket or whatever. And, you know, maybe God meant for people that can't afford $75 tickets to hear his music. And, you know, and I kind of think about it that way, you know. I mean, maybe people that have good jobs in New York City and, you know, places like that can afford these astronomical ticket prices, you know, maybe that's the kind of music for them. And, you know, maybe God meant, you know, people like Dale and Wayne and these kind of guys, you know, for people that couldn't afford that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, that is well put. So, you know, speaking of promoting yourself and stuff, what is your opinion as an artist, you know, in using Facebook and MySpace and, you know, the internet in general? I mean, do you think that it helps your career in the long run, or do you think it's primarily for, like, for in your case, I mean, is it pretty much the breeding ground to get things done?
Well, I'll tell you what, Blake, me and you are talking not now because of MySpace, if I ain't mistaken.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, and most of the people that, you know, come to the shows and buy records and stuff, I mean, they, you know, they write me on MySpace and, you know, and let us come hang out with them and such as that and take us out to dinner on the road. And, man, I a lot of times I sit here and wonder how do people do this in the 80s, you know, and even further back than that before the internet came around. And, I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to do this without the internet. And it kind of goes hand in hand with what we were just talking about with the money, because somebody like me, you know, can sell a couple thousand records, whereas, you know, in 1980, you would have been forced to go to a label, because how else are you going to get distribution?
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, and even booking shows and things like that, man, I really can't imagine how those guys did it.
A lot more legwork.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, yeah, I guess having a real good fan base, and I guess they didn't call them street teams then, but, you know, people that would help you out booking and stuff, it's just, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and this is kind of a personal question for me, I chose. Now, who is the blonde in front of the mirror in the inside cover of your new album? And you know, I know it's kind of, it doesn't have anything to do with music, but who is that girl?
Well, she, that's a girl here in where I'm from, in Columbus, Georgia. She's a model. And the guy that does my artwork and stuff, he's a professional photographer here. We went to middle school together. And so he shot the back cover of 50 Years Too Late, and so I let him do the whole thing on this one. And she's just, I think she's 17 or 18, and lives around here. And we did a photo shoot with her. I went and found the dirtiest, cheapest hotel I could find, and I had this image on the back that I wanted of the girl looking in the mirror, and then on the side of the wall have the track listing. And but I don't know, I think the pictures we took were a little too much for a country record, so we just kind of slipped that little one in there and let it go.
You know, you really dampened my hopes when you said she's like 17 or 18. I was about ready to, you know, hop in the truck and go down to Georgia and be like, hey, you know, but it's all good. You know, Joey, we've been friends for a long time, and like I said, you're one of the good guys that I've met in this industry, and I appreciate your honesty and your willingness to, you know, talk to us, and it means a lot. And when you have a record that comes out, you know, I'll always do whatever I can to help promote it, because if you haven't heard any of Joey's music, you know, the first album was awesome, and the second album, it only gotten better. So, Joey, thank you very much, man.
All right, Blake, well, I'm glad I come back on your show after 27 episodes later and be here with you again. I remember when we did that first one, I don't think either one of us knew what we was doing then.
No, I sure didn't, and some people would tell you that I don't now. But where can folks go get the new album, All Alone Again, and where can they get the old album too?
Well, we're still waiting for them to get the new one up on iTunes. The company that handles all our digital distribution, they were going through a restructuring, redoing their servers or something, and so it's still not on iTunes, but you can get it digitally in MP3 form on digstation.com, and you can always buy the physical CD from the website joeyalcorn.com or on amazon.com. And I hope we sold a lot of the physical ones, I guess, in lieu of the digital one not being out there. But, man, I still like to have that record. And like you said, I mean, I think everybody's going to want to see that blonde-headed girl in there now that you mentioned it.
Exactly. Next time you see her, tell her she's famous in our eyes. Well, we're gonna cut this one short, and we're going to play my favorite song on the new album, and it's called Huntsville. And it's my favorite album. My favorite song, because I can definitely relate. I could just change the word from Huntsville to a different town, and I think that's what makes the song so good, is any guy out there who's been screwed over can just change the name of the town, and what you say in it is exactly what happens.
Well, that's a very true story right there, and that's one of my favorite ones too.
All right, again, that was Joey Alcorn, and this is his song from the new album, All Alone Again. That song is called Huntsville.
About the money I ain't sending in. set me up on a monthly plan. Maybe you ain't in love with another man, but I hope you had a damn good time in Huntsville. I hope that feller's everything you ever wanted, and I hope that he loves you.
In my opinion, one of the best ever Joey Alcorn songs off his new album, All Alone Again, that was Huntsville. And like I said in the interview, it's one of those songs where us guys, and I guess even the gals, can just stick a different name of a city in it, and it fits in perfect. So thank you again, Joey, for being on the show. We had a phone conversation for about an hour and a half. It was really good to reconnect with Joey. He's one of the good guys out there, and thank you again for being on the show. So I guess it's time we should go ahead and start talking about the contact information. I really want to get some more interaction from some more listeners. I really want to know what you guys think about the show. So if you want to email us, you can email us at blake@ibwip.com. And the lovely Norma Jean, just because she's not on this episode doesn't mean she's gone for good. And you can email her at normajean@ibwip.com. And Creepy Guy, let's get some emails to Creepy Guy, finding out where the hell he has been. You can rattle him off an email at creepyguy@ibwip.com as well. And leave us voicemails. On the mini shows, we're not really going to play a lot of the voicemails or talk about the fan feedback, but we want to get as many voicemails as possible to stick on the feature show. So you can send us a voicemail. Give us a call at 1-206-339-8419. It doesn't cost anything, folks. Just dial the number. Leave us a message. You got 2 minutes, so say whatever you want to say. I put them all on the show. I don't give a care. And of course, everybody knows us at myspace.com/itburnswhenip86. And of course, if you're listening to the show, you know to go to ibwip.com. We're hoping to get some more pictures up there, and I'm starting to blog more on there, so you might want to check it out and subscribe to the blog as well. And for all you Twitter folk out there, you can go to twitter.com/IBWIPCOM and follow along with us. We'll have show updates, and a lot of times I just Twitter bullshit and see what's going down. And now I want to take a few minutes before we interview Michelle and kind of talk about what It Burns When IP is doing with the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. We're going to participate in a walk coming up here in Peoria on September 13th at Glen Oak Park. So if any of our listeners are anywhere in Illinois or anywhere around town and want to go and check that out, that's September 13th again at Glen Oak Park. We're going to be walking 4 miles. So And if you want to go ahead and donate, I'm kind of asking the fans to donate. You can go to our MySpace page, and there's a little thermometer with a goal. Like I set a goal of like $300, and you know, if you can just donate $5 or $10, that'd be awesome. It goes straight to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. It doesn't go through me; it goes straight to them, and we'd appreciate that. So, and we're gonna have an interview with a friend of mine, Michelle. She's been a friend for quite a few years, and her 3-year-old son has just recently been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and but we're really asking our fans to kind of lend a hand. I know times are tough, but you know, $5, $10, whatever you can spare would be awesome. It's I was thinking about another song to play, since we're playing a lot of Joey's songs, and one of Joey's icon or his idols is Hank Williams, and it's been a while since we played a Hank song on the show, so we're going to play a song called Just When I Needed You, and it's off the Unreleased Records box set, which thank you to the folks at the Hank Williams Museum for sending that over to me. And here is the one and only, the man himself, Hank Williams Sr., with Just When I Needed You. Take it out, Hank.
Just when I trouble worried mind, so broken hearted too, just when I needed you. I cried, I prayed, Lord, I tried to forget you and never call your name. What a shame, what a shame, you're the one that was to blame. You're the one that proved untrue just when I needed you. You said it's best we part and never love again. And though it broke my heart, I won't complain. You know I love you still, and dear, I always will. Although you proved untrue just when I needed you. No matter where you wander, no matter what you do, there's a longing in my heart for only you. I'll love you just the same, and I'll want you back again. Although you proved untrue just when I needed you. I cried, I prayed, Lord, I tried to forget you and never call your name. What a shame, you're the one that was to blame. For you went and proved untrue just when I needed you.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. We have a special guest in the studio, and Get Your Hank on the studio, and we're actually going to talk about a serious matter for once. My friend Michelle.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
We've known each other for about 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So recently, you found out that your son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and we are doing the walk come in September. So why don't you just tell the folks a little bit about how you found out that that Brody was diagnosed or had
type 1?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my son is 3 and a half, and he was diagnosed back in the end of April with type 1 diabetes. At first, we just thought that he maybe had a bladder infection or urinary tract infection or something because he was just drinking all the time and wetting his pants.
That would be a good place for an It Burns and IP joke, but I won't. Yeah,
that's. I was thinking the same thing, but we're serious. So.
Right.
So we brought him to a prompt care just to kind of get him checked out because he was acting fine. And I had kind of got a little tip from a nurse that he, at his daycare, kind of warned me that we might want to get his blood sugar checked. And so we brought him to the prompt care, and they just did a urine test and found out at that time his blood sugar was over 300, which is pretty high, especially for a kid. And so they told us we had to bring him immediately to the emergency room. They did let us give him dinner just because he hadn't eaten at all. By the time we got to the emergency room, he was somewhere over 600. They don't even know. It didn't register that high in the emergency room. So that was pretty high, but he was still acting fine. I mean, he's always been a little hyper, but he was still acting fine. Didn't seem crazy, you know, didn't seem like anything was going on. They actually admitted us to the hospital that night just because they couldn't send us home without the proper education. So he had to spend the night in the hospital, which it was actually a wonderful experience. But he wasn't like any of the other kids in the hospital because he was up running around and playing games and things like that. The next day, we got set up with the Pediatric Diabetes Resource Center and had our first three-hour session. They gave us all the education we could possibly take in at that time. Then they sent us home. And so we had to do Brody's routine is typically he gets his blood sugar checked before every meal. He eats his meal, and we have to calculate how many carbs he eats during that meal. And he can have as many as he wants. We just have to know every single carb that goes into his body. And then after his meal, we have to do some math, which is crazy. And then he gets insulin based on what his blood sugar was before the meal and how many carbs he ate during the meal. Once he gets older, he will get his insulin before he starts eating. But little kids don't always eat everything on their plate. So at this point, we have to give it within 30 minutes of his first bite.
Okay. And I guess another big thing is what would happen? What is type 1 diabetes cause? I mean, what is the, how do they get sick and what happens when they get sick?
Typically, children get diagnosed because they go into a coma. They get flu-like symptoms and they pretty much go into a coma and then they're admitted to the hospital and that's when it's found out that they're type 1. Typically, it runs in families. However, it doesn't run in my family or his dad's family. 1 out of 9 children are just, I guess, randomly diagnosed with no background.
So let's talk a little bit about Sunday, September 13th, and what we're doing to raise money.
On Sunday, September 13th, the Juvenile Diabetes Resource Center will be having its annual walk in Peoria at Glen Oak Park. It starts at 1 o'clock, and so we've started some fundraisers, and I have some wonderful people that are joining our walk to help raise money. They're actually really close to a cure, and so every dollar counts, because if they can find a cure for type 1 diabetes, that means he won't have to count carbs and won't have to get insulin.
Am I going to be able to smoke while I walk?
Probably not.
I didn't know that.
We can walk quickly. And
not too quickly. You obviously haven't seen me walk or run lately.
It is a 4-mile walk, so we might have to do some training before.
Okay, some training. No, but the main reason why I had you on is because I kind of wanted to kind of tell people about your experience and why you're trying to raise money for the foundation. And, I put a link up for donations and stuff, and I just wanted the people to kind of know what we were talking about and what we were asking money for. And, what other kind of things have you been trying to do to kind of raise awareness?
We're actually having Culver's is going to have a benefit night for us. So on Wednesday, August 19th, between 4 and 8 p.m., 10% of the proceeds will go towards juvenile diabetes.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
And we're hoping to raise some money, and we're hoping the folks out there that listen to It Burns and IP will go and just, even $5 and $10, every little bit helps. And like I said, it all goes straight to the foundation. It doesn't go through my sticky hands or anything like that.
No. We wouldn't let that happen.
We wouldn't trust it to happen. So make sure you check out the link. We have it on our MySpace. We have a little thermometer. And we also have it on the It Burns and IP blog on IBWIP.com. And if there's any way, anything else you need, where can they go?
They can go to www.jdrfp.org. JDRF.org to find out more information.
All right, cool. Well, Michelle, thank you for coming into the dirty stalls of A Burns With IP. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Thank you again to Michelle for being on the show. I told her she had a sexy voice after I listened to that. She did have a sexy voice. So, Michelle, you can come on the show whenever you want. Thanks again. And again, folks, if you can, help us out and donate some money to a worthy cause. For at once, At Burns With IP is doing something for good instead of evil. I guess I should say thank you to everybody. It's already the end of the show. I definitely want to thank Joey Alcorn once again for being on the show. And I want to thank Andy from Section86.com and 86 Productions. You guys can go check out Section86.com. You can download some of the old episodes of It Burns and IP. I think it's episode 16 and from 1 to 16, I think you can download there. And they got a new look there, and Andy's been working real hard on that site, so check that out. And I want to thank all the fans for listening. As always, you are the one reason I do this show. Looking ahead to episode 29, which will be released on August 28th, we're going to have a special guest. Her name is Chelsea McBee, and I'm really looking forward to that episode. Chelsea is an amazing bluegrass singer from West Virginia, I do believe. So look forward to that. It's also going to be the last episode recorded at Get Your Hank On Studios. I am moving out September 1st. Not by choice, but I am moving out. So we're going to have to say goodbye to Get Your Hank On Studios number 2. And I'm sure there'll be Get Your Hank On Studios number 3 somewhere. But up right now, that's up in the air. But we're going to keep doing the show, whether I have to do it from my truck or from a garage or, I don't know, some bar. It doesn't matter. We'll still do it. I want to remind everybody again, if they will please go to our MySpace page and click on the little thermometer and donate, you know, $5 or $10. We'd really, really appreciate it. And every little bit helps, and we're just trying to help a good cause. So goodbye to everyone, and thank you again to everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed the shortened version of It Burns When IP. You know, the ladies say that size doesn't matter, so hopefully you're still going to enjoy the show. And here is one more song from Joey Alcorn. It's off his first album. It's the title track. And many of you know the song, but you can't talk about Joey Alcorn without playing 50 Years Too Late. So thanks again, folks. Take care.
Well, I never met Ernest Tubb. I never shook Roy Acuff's hand. I never got to hear Williams play with the drifting cowboy band. I never got to hear Webb Pierce sing on WUSN. And I don't like it, but I guess it's fate. I was born 50 years too late. I never got to hear Farron Young. Patsy Cline. I never got to hear Johnny Cash sing I Walk the Line. I never got to go to the Opry on a Saturday at the Ryman. And I don't like it, but I guess it's fate. I was born 50 years too late. Thousand ways.
up and kiss.